Hi, welcome to Bolt for Life. I am Garrett Bolt, actor, personal trainer, former powerlifter, pro wrestler, and chronic pain thriver. Bolt for Life is a podcast about living with the challenges of chronic pain. Our goal is to acknowledge, inspire, and relate to people living with chronic pain. I believe it is not only possible to survive, but to live a full life and thrive with chronic pain. No matter where you are in your journey, our mission is to give you the information and inspiration that will help you become Bolt for Life. Today on the Bolt for Life podcast, we have Skip and Holly Lennon, and they are the owners of TF Fitness and Nutrition. So this is during the time of the pandemic, and throughout the country, some of the gyms and fitness centers have opened and some have not. So here in North Carolina, the gyms are closed. As of right now, we're in phase two, and that is really tough on our chronic pain community, on our physical fitness community. So we want to get Skip and Holly in here to talk to us about the current situation with their gym and what they're doing to help get those gyms open so that people can get in there and continue to be healthy. Well, today on the Bolt for Life podcast, we have with us Skip and Holly Lennon. They are owners of TF Fitness and Nutrition here in Wilmington, North Carolina. They've been in the gym and fitness game for some time now, and I'm really honored to have them here at the Bolt for Life podcast. Welcome, guys.
Thank you very much. We're excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming in. And to let our listeners know, we're recording this during the time of the pandemic. And
we're social distancing 6 feet apart.
Yes, we're pretty close. Pretty close. We're not wearing masks, though. I think we're okay here. You know, here on the Bolt for Life podcast, we like to talk about, obviously, people with chronic pain and chronic injuries. But we very much encourage people to do resistance training, to work out, to get their bodies moving, strengthen their bodies. And right now, all of the gyms and fitness centers are still closed down here in North Carolina. I know we have friends in Illinois and Connecticut, New York. I think it's a similar situation there. So, can you guys maybe give us a little background about yourselves and kind of bring us up to speed where we are today?
Well, I guess as far as we're concerned, you know, we, like you said, we've been in the fitness industry now, myself for about 30 plus years, so, and done every aspect of it. So it's, and my wife as well, we met in the gym actually, just I know you and your wife did. So it's a common thing when you work out. So we met many, many years ago, and she's actually in the health field, and, you know, we have the gym as well. So we have two locations now. We've had up to 15 in the past, and Gold's Gym has been franchises, non-franchise locations. So, done it all. So,
yeah, we actually, a little bit of backstory, we met. Holly was one of the first people we met when we moved here to Wilmington, and it was Gold's Gym at the time.
You guys hadn't even moved. You were visiting.
That's right. So we actually found the gym before we found the house. So we were
priorities there, right?
Yeah, right. But seriously, the reputation of the Gold's Gym, and especially the Racine location, we had heard from friends of ours that that's the place to go. There's tons of competitors, and it's just a great atmosphere. And that definitely was the case and still is with your gyms.
Oh, good. Appreciate it.
Little background for me is my degrees are exercise science and nutrition from University of North Carolina, Wilmington in East Carolina, and went on to grad school to study nutrition and quickly kind of got into the pharmaceutical and medical field. So I'm going on 20 years in medicine. So I like to say I combine both the kind of holistic functional medicine, but also bring, you know, tremendous knowledge from the medical field into, you know, not only what certain medications can do to help you, but in some cases, how they can hold you back from healing and recovery.
Yeah, definitely the knowledge and the know-how is a great combination.
It is. And I think, you know, specifically regarding the pandemic, I think right now our biggest concern is just the general health and well-being of our community and our members. In southeastern North Carolina, 5 of the top 10 preventative causes of death are directly benefited by physical activity. And, you know, right now, with the only option for people to social distance and to work out outside or to do home-based videos, you know, we're concerned about a couple things. A, maybe they may not be held accountable, or might not have the self-motivation to do it. But also are concerned, you know, for those that have some mental health illness, some PTSD, or utilize exercise or coming to the gym as part of like their recovery, whether it's for pain management or, you know, just general dealing with stress, anxiety. So I think, you know, our largest concerns right now are, when are we going to be able to get back to some sort of normalcy so we can get back to that physical activity benefiting people both physically and mentally?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, you guys know my story and the listeners know my story. And, you know, several different teams of doctors have told me if I didn't do what I do to strengthen and continue to move, that I wouldn't be walking, you know. And I'm not the only one. There's tons of people, and we live in an area where we have a lot of military and a lot of PTSD, is not to mention our first responders, you know, who depend on the gym and the fitness centers to stay in great shape, you know. Yeah, it's really, I mean, a tough time. Obviously, you know, the pandemic and the coronavirus situation is challenging. And of course, I was really impressed with your response. I saw how you guys were like right on top of things, keeping the gym clean, providing people with stuff. And, you know, it's hard because it's really one of the biggest things for me, not to mention all the physical benefits and all the benefits you mentioned about the pain management and everything, but the community, you know, I mean, that's where our friends are. That's where you guys are. That's where, you know, those are our people, you know. It's just really a tough situation. And I find it tough. So what have you guys been doing to try to get the message out there, and what's been going on with that?
The message as far as just the fact that we need to open and get going. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times, I mean, there's only a small percentage of the population that works at it anyway. And most of those people, at least in our clubs, you know, we have more big box type facilities, you know, the Gold's Gym, more serious workout people. So they're all wanting to work out. I don't know if we need to really tell them. They're calling our phones every day. Right. Can we get open? Can we get open? It's unfortunate that it is like that, that, you know, 85% of the population doesn't work out and 15 does, if you want to use those numbers. But, you know, I think in general, you know, here lately, we've just, you know, we've been on the news a lot, been interviewed a lot, talking again to the general public and educating them. And but as far as our members go, they're wanting to get back in there, to get back in there. So it's just a matter of just time. Just when can we get back in there? You know, we've been able to do things, obviously, to meet the COVID-19 CDC requirements as far as, you know, we've added air purification systems, you know, put in new policies, procedures that, you know, hopefully to allow us to get open. So I think it's been good. I mean, the health club industry has always been, you know, if you're a good operator, your clubs are clean and you're sanitary. But I think this has made everyone step it up a little bit. So I think in the end, it would be a good thing for the members. But the way we feel is, you know, we go out now and you can go to Walmart, you can go to Home Depot, but in all these places. And as far as I'm concerned, the gym's a whole lot cleaner than all of those places. So, you know, We're just, you know, hoping we can get going sooner and later. And I know our members are, just like yourself, and for whatever reason you use the gym for. I mean, it could be, you know, a whole list of reasons why people come to the gym and have trainers and whatnot. But so yeah, it's just a matter of timing. When can we get open? And hopefully sooner than later. It's just sad that, unfortunate that, you know, at least President Trump put it the first thing, and North Carolina was put in phase two, and then we were in phase three. And the health and fitness, you know, are like the healthy people are almost getting punished, you know, that they're putting us in the category that they are, bumping us all the way at the very end. But yet the ABC store never is closed, you know, right. That type of thing. So.
Right, yeah. And great piece that you did for the news, it's WWAY, I believe it's on their webpage, WWAY in Wilmington. And really great interview and great story and some great quotes from you guys. That's awesome. I'd love to see you guys getting the word out there, you know. And if I can speak as a member, you know, we want you guys to be there. We appreciate the services that you provide on top of what we already mentioned. You know, just the fact that you guys are open and it's a great gym and it's clean and it attracts those same kind of motivated people that we want to be around. You know, we want to see you guys do well and be able to continue to do what you do. So maybe for some of our listeners, I mean, I almost feel like we don't need to make more of a case, but, you know, some of the more I guess some more of the science behind why it's so important. And I know, the listeners here know my wife, Beth, is a nurse practitioner, and she was so happy to write a letter to the governor on the behalf of the gyms, especially your gym and other gyms here. And, saying how important it is for people. But can you talk to us a little bit more about some of the science behind that and just...
Yeah, absolutely. We reached out to local mayor Bill Sappho and some other club owners in the community who not necessarily had this radical position against, we're going to sue the state because of an infringement in constitutional rights, or we're going to impulsively open back up. But we really wanted to meet with him so that he could champion our message to the governor Cooper as to what we thought was kind of misunderstood. And let me back up by saying, I think so much of health and fitness gets kind of put into this bucket of vanity, like elective, or, you kept hearing people say, oh, the salons and the spas and the hairs and the nails and the eyelashes and the self-tanners. And what we specifically wanted to meet with them about is this is not that. This is not the sweatshop meathead bodybuilder sweating everywhere, grunting, standing on stage and performing clientele that we're concerned about. We're concerned about 90% of our memberships that they use this as their prescription of choice. As you know, Garrett, when it comes to pain or chronic pain, it's really easy to meet with a healthcare provider and to get prescribed a multitude and a plentitude of over-the-counter prescription medications to help block those receptor sites. What people don't often talk about is the norepinephrine and serotonin response that is produced by 30 minutes to an hour of physical activity can be equivalent, if not exceed, the therapeutic benefits of some of those commonly controlled pain medications. That the physical activity releases the endorphins and the hormones to also block those receptor sites. Now, what the physical activity doesn't do is it doesn't block your sense of feeling pain and knowing you're in pain like some of those commonly prescribed medications. So what that means is you're able to work out and not only block those receptor sites for the pain, but you're still able to know what your limitations are. You're able to keep yourself safe. You're able to get that mental and emotional release. Now, when somebody is in chronic pain and it dictates your day and it dictates your life, that social aspect of it is so important. Just trying to keep somebody's headspace mentally aware and mentally healthy is such a challenge. And I think with COVID-19, one of my biggest concerns, and I think your wife Beth shares the same concern, is what has this done to the overall health of the additional population, particularly those that were relatively healthy going into it, but now may be suffering from increased anxiety or depression, social isolation, loneliness, PTSD, to your point. My bigger concern at this point is how are things going to look several months from now when we start getting a look at the statistics of what this has done with mental health in general.
Yeah. It's, and to Skip's point too, you can buy alcohol, you can buy cigarettes, you can buy all these other things. And then, as we're the phase two that we're in here in North Carolina, you can go to physical therapy, and I think you've really nailed it, Hollywood, just the idea that, oh, it's just a bunch of meatheads, a bunch of vain people that want to look themselves in the mirror. And that's not the case. There's science behind what we do and the benefit of the gym. And, for me, a good practical example is, and I love my neighborhood, they're awesome, there's so many fit people, but if I take a walk around the neighborhood, people I saw 2 months ago, a lot of them don't look the same, and I'm concerned for them, and a lot of them are casual gym members. They go to this gym or they go to that gym or they go to the Y or they do something, and now they don't have that available to them.
You know, you're exactly right. I think some people are making jokes with COVID-19 of comparing it to like the freshman 15, the COVID-19 in terms of pounds gained, which is equally as unfortunate for those that suffer from diabetes or coronary heart disease or obesity. Like, it is very scary how much, you know, 60 to 90 days of not having these opportunities is going to, you know, send them in reverse from meeting their goals. And, you know, everyone says, oh, just go work out outside, go do a boot camp in the parking lot on some hot asphalt. And, you know, while that works for some, I mean, this is southeastern North Carolina. We're quickly approaching, you know, mid-90s June temperatures. And I would say while physical activity outside is appropriate for some of our members, there's an equal pot of those members that it's not appropriate for.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I applaud, like, the efforts that you guys have been doing with getting good information out there for members. You know, I see a lot of different fitness centers and gyms. I have a friend of mine that has a gym in Chicago. He's loaning equipment out to certain members. You can sign pieces out, which seems crazy that, you know, that's legal, but yet he can't allow them in the door to use the equipment, you know. But yeah, it's really, I think kind of an unprecedented time.
Yeah. The bad thing is obviously with working out at gyms and stuff, and we're talking, not talking about that small percentage of people that, you know, the bodybuilders and stuff, we're talking about the general population in there. It's a habit, and it's not like, okay, we're going to open the door and they're going to all of a sudden like, okay, I'm going to go back to working out, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week. They're just out of the routine, out of the habit. You know, we've all started diets and stopped diets. It's very easy to fall out of that habit. And, you know, working out, unfortunately, is it's got to be a lifestyle, you know, and it's something you need to do on a repetitive basis. You know, I tell people all the time, it's not about coming into the gym 5 days a week when you get started. You know, you're better to be consistent coming in 2-3 times instead of burning yourself out trying to come every day for the first month. So, you know, some of these people that we were talking about from the health benefits, it's just, even once we open the club, you know, it's a matter of just, are they going to get back into that routine? How long is it going to take them to get back in that routine? And, you know, things that we've been doing while we're closed, offering the free classes online, you know, being interactive on social media, things like that. You want to do the best you can to keep, you know, in contact with those members and keep them engaged as much as possible. But it's just tough during these times to do that. And, you know, unfortunately, we know some people that I don't know if they'll get back on the train. And when it may be another 6 months, you know, like Holly said, what's going to happen over time here, once you turn the gyms back on, they're not going to come back right away. And if they, you know, so it's just unfortunate. But, you know, hopefully that, you know, what we're seeing or what I'm hearing from owners in other states is that once they've opened, they are getting a tremendous response of people coming back. I think people, you know, whether it's going to restaurants or just going out in general, people are just kind of done. Like, okay, I'm tired of being at home. I'm tired of, you know, I got the dumbbells from Walmart when we first went down 2 months ago, but been there, done that now. I'm tired of that. Or I'm tired of cooking in. I'm ready to go out and do stuff. So I think it's going to be a good thing for North Carolina, for us, for the local gyms and say bars and restaurants, whoever is, more we continue to get things going again. So, but you never know. Again, it's not coming back for that week. You know, it's about creating that habit and how many people are going to get back, be able to do that and to get those benefits that, you know, it's not just going to the gym 1 or 2 times, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And, you know, one of my favorite populations at the gym is the Silver Sneaker Club. You know, for people that don't know, you can get a membership through, maybe you guys can explain that, but it's for people that are basically retired on Medicare or certain insurance programs. And those are the elderly people, you know, those are the people. And that brightens my day, you know, to see them in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I'm Holly may have a different perspective from the medical field, but, you know, I think those people might need to be concerned and they won't come back right away, you know, whether it's a cleaner environment than the grocery store that they're going to. But, you know, the Silver Sneakers is a great program. A lot of clubs will offer certain group exercise classes that those people come. And it's not only where they come and exercise, but it's where they come and socialize. So it's in that regard, it is a social and physical activity for them to get out of the house. I mean, we've had, you know, sons and daughters sign up their elderly, you know, mother or father just to say, hey, I don't care if they come in here and sit on the couch. I want them to get out of the house type thing. So the Silver Sneakers program is a great program at no cost to the members, obviously through their insurance. But, you know, they come and they socialize, and you know, a lot of these groups even get together outside of the gym and go do things. So from that population standpoint, hopefully they'll get back and feel comfortable coming back. But a lot of, I've talked to some of them, so they won't be coming back, and it's a sad thing. And I mean, I know it's a concern, but you know, it's just maybe the new reality we live in. But it's unfortunate that they've been scared. You know, to me, it's, you know, the same concern that they would have getting the flu, in a sense. I know it's different, but you know, they can still come in, and it is a clean environment, and we can practice the social distancing in our big group rooms. And but it is important for them to get out and socialize and stay active, you know.
Yeah, I think it's really important to point out, you know, that Silver Sneakers program is or was originally designed for that patient population that's predominantly Medicare over the age of 65. And while age generally isn't a factor with COVID-19, the one thing that doesn't come into play is, you know, if you're over the age of 65 and you have other comorbid conditions or are in the moderate risk to high risk category, you could be more susceptible. You know, I think we're going to learn more information in the next couple months as we do the community testing and the CCR testing, as well as the antibody testing, to understand more about this virus. But what I think it's really important for the community to understand prior to getting this information about COVID-19 is generally the healthiest and fittest demographic of individual, those that use physical activity and mental health as an ongoing regular part of their routine, are not, for the most part, the demographic that has been affected by COVID-19. If they have been affected, generally they're a first responder that unfortunately has been exposed in the medical environment or the profession that they're doing. But also, when you look at the statistic, that demographic of the healthiest patient population with the strongest immune system is not the patient that's ending up in the hospital. It's not the patient that's ending up intubated or on a ventilator. They're not the patients that are ending up in the fatality bucket of unfortunately losing their life to COVID-19. I think, you know, it all goes back to science at its first and foremost introductory level, which is survival of the fittest. If you are fit, if your body is strong, if your mind is strong, if you are healthy, if your immune system is thriving, then your body is better equipped to fight off this virus, just as your body is better equipped to fight off chronic pain. So I think it's just allowing the community to understand that, you know, not only have we always been a safe place to come, but this is something that is absolutely essential for you to incorporate into your routine. And I am positively optimistic that hopefully we're kind of waking the sleeping dragon for some, you know, because this option and this choice has been taken away, that people will realize just how much they've missed it. You know, maybe they're seeing that, you know, couple pounds weight gain, or, you know, softness. You know, maybe they're feeling more anxiety having to homeschool their children, or, you know, be quarantined with their spouse for multiple weeks and months. You know, maybe they're feeling some depression, some anxiety. You know, maybe they have gone back and looked at their resolutions and goals that they set for themselves in 2020 and realized just how off pace they are. So I am positively optimistic that when we reopen, that it can kind of be like a resolution reset. You know, come back and meet with us and let's reassess what your goals are. And not just your physical goals, but let's really dive in and look at your goals for controlling chronic pain, obesity. Maybe their goal is to come off some metformin for diabetes, or, you know, lower their cholesterol. You know, let's really look at what their goals are and individualize some goals and allow for a little reset or reboot.
Oh, totally. That's such a great message. And I can tell you, I've never needed the gym more than when I'm trying to teach my son first grade math. I was like, I need to get in there and just...
I hate to be a damper on your parade, but wait until first grade math turns into middle school new math, and then the fight becomes, oh, but mom, that's not the new math way to do it. And you're like, well, okay.
Oh, man. And for our listeners, how many children do you guys have?
Combined, we have 5, ages 3, 11, 11, 13, and 14, blended family.
Wow, that's awesome. I commend you guys. That's awesome. And how's it been going through the pandemic?
It's been pretty good. Yeah. Just a matter of trying to keep everyone going and schoolwork. But
yeah, you know, kids in general are so resilient. And I think they feed on our responses, and we've chosen to go at this for the most part as an angle to be like positive and find healthy options. You know, we've definitely rode more bikes and played more soccer and gotten outside more. And but unfortunately, there's been a little more device time too, which is a little frustrating, but...
Well, I'll say, too, and one of the big draw for us when we found your gym was like, wow, there's this great gym, you know, great atmosphere, and you have a great kids care at the gym as well. And it's just so hard for kids not to be around other kids, just like it's hard for us not to be around other people, you know. You know, we really value that time that our son Jake gets to spend there, you know, and play with your children and other members' children. So Beth and I always joke, we're like, well, we go to the gym and we play with our friends and he plays with his friends, you know, and it's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I am concerned about what the reentry into schooling is going to look like. You know, I think it's unfortunate that some of the basic skills, like our youngest is 3, and, you know, now they're encouraging social isolation and not sharing toys and not sharing books. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we teaching kids? Like, it goes against like how we're raising them. So it'll be interesting to see how things pan out over the next couple months and then how things pan out again during flu season. Mm-hmm. I think there's still just so much unknown, but I think honestly the key and the core message is whatever your reason is to practice better health and fitness, find what works for you, individualize the routine, and then to Skip's point earlier, you know, make sure it becomes a habit. Make sure you're consistent and the results will come, whether that's a physical result or whether that's, you know, so much for you and I, Garrett, which is that chronic pain control or more of that mental awareness. They're equally as important. You know, one of the things I said on the news early on when we were being interviewed is we would never deny a patient the opportunity to see a physician. We would never close a pharmacy and deny a patient the opportunity to fill a prescription. So for many of our members, this is their prescription of choice. You know my story. In 2013, I was in a debilitating cycling crash where I went headfirst down on railroad tracks. And when Skip came back into my life in 2014, I was on 13 different medications. 2 months prior to COVID-19, I made the decision to titrate off my last 2 medications with the support of my neurologist, of course. And I had to continue being physically active. I had to continue being at the gym and working out every day during COVID-19, or the risk was to have to go back, you know, on those medications. Fortunately, when you're a gym owner, you have access to the equipment. So, and I know that my story is, you know, such a common story for so many of our gym members. I feel very fortunate that I was able to continue on with my physical fitness, but it makes me concerned for those who weren't. Mm-hmm. they're going to be starting back over again.
Yeah. And, you know, to know you during part of that process where you were going through that and the progress you've made is really inspiring. I appreciate you sharing that and doing what you do. I mean, it's really impressive. And, you know, a good point that you made, and I find this to be true for myself and a lot of other people with chronic pain, is the beautiful equipment that you guys have in that gym. I need that. I'm no longer a competitive power lifter. I can't just use a barbell and a squat rack and a bench. You know, I need specialized equipment to be able to do things that I can't normally do. You know, and you guys have definitely the best equipment in town here, and in some of the best equipment I've seen in any gyms. And you know, for people with chronic pain, that's a huge thing that I've done with clients in the past that have certain issues. But we can work around it with this machine. We can work around it with this. And, you know, the at-home workouts and, you know, we're all doing our best and we're doing what we can. But it's not the same, you know.
Well, again, that's what we're hoping happens here. But what they're seeing in other states that have opened, that, again, you can't duplicate what you can get in the gym from a social aspect and the type of equipment. You just can't have everything at your house. So, you know, kind of like what Holly was saying, that now that it's been taken away, you really, you know, realize that you need it, whether it's just because you like that piece of equipment or that you really, hey, I really felt better when I was working out and I really want to get back to that. So I think, you know, that we'll see an surge, you know, surgeons when people come back to once we're open. But it's just a matter of, you know, hopefully people have been educated. I mean, that you do it all the time here on the podcast, just trying to educate people and working out and trying to be healthier. But, you know, unfortunately people don't ever listen, and they have to kind of experience for themselves. And so hopefully those people that we had that were on had a habit and were on a regimen coming, you know, will, now that's been taken away, they'll be like, wow, it was making a difference. There's a lot of times when you're actually in the moment, you don't like, you know, I think Holly works out all the time, and the other day she's like, I don't think I'm getting results anymore. You know what I mean? Just, you just don't see it yourself. And, but when it's gone, you know, hopefully people will see that and get back into it. But
I wish we could actually put a measurable number behind if exercise were prescribed. Mm-hmm. And the example I can give you is, you always hear that, you know, in the medical and pharmaceutical prescription industry, that about 80% of the adult population over the age of 45 is on some sort of medication for ADHD, anxiety, or depression. 80% of the population. Like, and I've always pondered, like, is that really accurate? You know, to Skip's point earlier, a small percentage of the patient population is actually physically active on a regular and ongoing basis. I think that percentage is what, 15%?
I mean, typically people would say 15% of the population works out at all, maybe even, you know, on a consistent basis. Let's say more than three times, probably drops you down to 5. Mm-hmm. You know, those bodybuilders or powerlifters are probably in 1%. It's a very sad statistic, unfortunately, but it is the reality, and you always want to increase that. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, not to get into my story, but I have chronic kidney disease. I'm stage 4 kidney disease. And when we go to the doctor, because what we talk about and preach and see out there in the health club industry world, and I'm like, well, doc, should I do this? Can I do that? And they're like, I don't know. I guess so, because, you know, doctors, you know, Holly can definitely preach to this, as this is her world, but unless it's a study that they can look at and it's a number, they don't know. So, I mean, they think, oh, sure, working out make you feel better. I'm sure it will. But, you know, it's unfortunate that in our population, it's, you know, from a doctor standpoint, they'll give you a pill and give you this pill and see what works. But, you know, they can't lock someone in a perfect reality where they're going to eat good, get good nutrition, and work out on a regular basis to see the benefit. And, you know, living a healthy lifestyle, clean living, not that you got to be perfect all the time. No one's perfect all the time, but just, you know, do what you can and be healthy is great as far as getting you off tons of medication. I mean, all these things that people are on, you know, all day long. But again, I hope that, you know, as this disease comes out and they talk about more and they find out more, they'll say, hey, really, yeah, look at the healthy population. They didn't get, they weren't the ones getting sick. So, I mean, again, that would just reinforce, you know, what we've been trying to tell people all along. And I think the people know out there, you know, just they'll go to McDonald's and get their hamburger, they'll get their Diet Coke, just, wow, I need to be healthy, I need to get my Diet Coke. You know what I mean? It's just, it's sad they're getting there. And, you know, I think what we're seeing, what I've seen in the industry over 30 years, you know, you're starting to see, you know, people go to more plant-based type diets. you know, just as the general population is getting more educated on just the benefits of health and fitness that we all know and live and preach every day, but it's an unfortunate thing that it's just lagging behind, like you said, the cigarettes and, you know, ABC stores and all that kind of stuff are open, and they'll preach all day long how bad cigarettes are, and people still do it. You know what I mean? It's just a weird thing, but hopefully as people come in and they get on those habits and they start seeing the benefits and feeling better and looking better and all these things that motivate them, that they'll continue to do. And I just hope they get back in and do that, or maybe this will motivate them to come in, because they've been just truly been sitting around for, you know, 60, 90 days and ready to go do something. So
yeah, and it's inspiring to see your journey too, and see what you go through, Skip, and see you in there working and doing it and making the changes, and it's inspiring, you know. And that's really, you guys bring that atmosphere to your gym. You know, it's like we felt it from the Gold's Gyms that you guys had in multiple locations, and the people there, we always felt like they cared, you know, and the atmosphere was good, and it was just that feeling, like it's hard to explain, you know, but you know, coming in there, the people that were there were warm and welcoming, and they walked the talk.
Yeah, I think it's all, you know, we talk about really in any industry, it's the people. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have an okay gym with great people, and it's a great gym. You can have a very nice brand new gym and have not so good people and staff, and it's just an okay gym, you know. So that's the same way with restaurants or a lot of people. It's all about the people, and we're very fortunate because we've been doing this for so long in this market that, you know, we have, you know, it's like a family.
It is a family. This is an extension of our family. I can't help but to get like teary-eyed as we're having this conversation, because my mind is just going to, you know, individual members. One girl who's getting ready to deploy to Kuwait, who mentally and physically isn't in the shape that she was in, you know, 2 months ago when COVID-19 started, and I pray for her and I worry for her. There's one particular gentleman who is there 3 to 4 times a week for 3 to 4 hours a day, and like, this is his social outing. And you know, for all of our first responders, the police and the fire and the military. I mean, last night we went into quarantine because of other politically heated stuff going on right now regarding race. And we went into a quarantine last night, and I couldn't help but to lose sleep last night worrying about our first responders and worrying that because our doors aren't open, what are they using to deal with their stress? Because for so many of them, the minute they get off work or before they go into work, they're in our clubs. And that is a reflection of our community. That is a reflection of our state. That is a reflection of the men and women that work for Bill Sasso. That is a reflection of the men and women that work for Governor Roy Cooper. And we are better because what they put on the line for us. And it's a huge concern right now that, are they at their best? I don't know the answer to that. I do know personally some of them don't feel that they are, and they are our family. And it's, you know, not only are we local club owners, but we live and breathe in that environment every single day. And we lost one member week 2 into COVID-19. And I mean, I think it's fair and okay to say, you know, we don't want her to die in vain. You know, she was recovering from substance abuse. She was 3 years sober. She was preparing to push her body to the next level and probably do some competition. She had found some positive, healthy habits in her life. Week 2 into COVID-19, we lost her to substance abuse. You know, what does it say when you give people the opportunity to go back to finding unhealthy habits, but aren't really doing the best to encourage healthy habits? And so I think for that story and for so many other stories, we're so ready to get our doors open and so ready to resume some sort of normalcy. You know, for those that are moderate or high risk, are they ready yet? No, not they're not ready. But for the majority of the other population of individuals, we're ready to see you, and we hope that they're ready to see us.
Yeah, well, I may speak for the members. We feel like you guys are family, and we can't wait for you to be open. So going forward, opening, do we have any idea what it may look like or possible dates?
I mean, possible dates for us, you know, hopefully, you know, by the 26th of this month, worst case scenario, I guess. You might change it again, unfortunate. We're just literally hurry up and wait and wait and see. But as far as what it would look like, again, we don't know. They haven't announced what those new procedures are going to look like. You can look at surrounding states and different things that they're requiring and doing. You know, again, the gyms that I talk to as well as ours, I mean, we already do so much of that, you know what I mean, just because of the nature of the gyms and needing to be clean. And again, if you're a good operator, all those things are happening. So people won't see too many changes in our gyms other than, you know, again, if a member or a staff person wants to wear a face mask, they're welcome to. We'll have additional hand sanitizers around the gym. We have some now, but we'll have additional ones.
We did install hospital-grade filtration systems for purification and sanitization to the equivalent of the one we installed, the exact same one that's used in the Mayo Clinic. And then for people out there that scratch their head and think what Skip's saying isn't accurate, you know, Skip and the group that he's involved with have always maintained very clean gyms. But for the people that are out there that don't necessarily think their gym's clean or don't really trust going back to their local gym, I encourage them to walk in our doors at TF Fitness and Nutrition to see what it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, some gyms are closing down for an hour during the day to clean. Well, I'm like, okay, well, that's great that hour, but, you know, we're going to stay open because we clean all the time. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, so that's just part of our protocol. And again, from a business standpoint, you may not be able to control someone coming in and signing up, but you can control it being clean. You can clean, you know what I mean? So kind of control your controllables. And to me, those are just the very basics of things that, you know, as a health club owner or operator or manager, whatever you might be, that you need to do the basics. And, you know, if you look at different surveys out there, why people join health clubs, location's always going to be number one, but cleaning's probably two or three, you know what I mean? And they need to be clean. And from an operation standpoint, there's no reason why you can't have a clean club, and you should. And again, like I said, with this going on, it really, you know, probably has raised that bar even more. And not that the gyms were dirty before, but, you know, instead of having, you know, 10 different hand sanitizers around the gym, you might have 20 now because you're just in more closer proximity. We're, like I said, added the purification system. And
we had members donate a pallet of CDC-required 60% or higher hand sanitizer last week. I mean, because our members are so ready for – I mean – I've had people like, can you just leave your keys here so we can sneak in the back door? Like, people are so ready to get back out there. And, you know, it's tough. This is the time of year going into summer where this community, so much of our life depends on the outdoors and beaching and boating. And this is the time of the year where people are used to being at their peak in regards to performance and health and fitness. So,
and again, the general population coming into health clubs, whether it be the senior population or what, they're typically the healthier, and it's, you know, they're not as susceptible to it. You know, it's so, you know, we're ready to get open, excited to get open. I think the members are ready to get open. And, you know, if you're for some reason, you know, weak immune system or not feeling good, absolutely don't come in. I mean, and that's what's kind of frustrating for us, is that the numbers, there's no logic behind why we're not open, but we're a private-based facility, members only. We know who's coming and going. We can control that, you know. But unfortunately, you can go to the ABC store, go to Walmart, and stand in line with 200, 300 people.
Morning, you know, when I got in here, I just returned from a trip to South Carolina. As you know, my accounts are open in South Carolina, so it's really frustrating for me that an hour and 20-minute drive, and I get down there, and everything's open and thriving, and, you know, medical offices are back to normal capacity, and, you know, restaurants and gyms are open to 50% capacity now. At 50% capacity, our location at 11 South Carr Avenue could have 200 people in it at one time. Garrett, have you ever known 200 people to be?
No.
I mean, even on a Friday in May at 5:30 in the afternoon, we've never had 200 people in there. Right. So But
yeah, well, we are anxious to get you guys up. I'm even more fired up. I'm ready to go to the gym now that I'm talking with you guys. And I know we miss it, and I hope it comes back sooner than later. Again, I, you know, as a frustrated member, and you know, with this podcast, the one universal thing that we talk about almost every episode is resistance training. It's the one universal thing, whatever your condition is, your injury, your pain, your disease, some form of resistance training working to help your body to be the best it can be is universal, you know?
Strengthen that core, strengthen that mind. I mean, it's just two things that nobody should do without.
Absolutely. And it's so unfortunate. Friend of mine in Indiana that has two gyms, they're restricted, and I'm hoping that our startup process doesn't look like that. There's some appointments, there's check-in, there's personal training
situations. Yeah, I mean, we've talked with the governor, and looking at South Carolina did have a thing, and at this point, we're fine with whatever. I mean,
right.
Bring it
just
on, you know what I mean? Appointment-based, yeah. Okay, but the point is just get us open, get going.
There were a lot of colleagues actually in the gym community that were actually opening today. And so we're waiting to see how that's gone. We've had, you know, a couple colleagues that have opened and have been fined. We've had a couple colleagues that have opened. One in particular got arrested. People have had threats made. You know, we tried to take it from approach of, can somebody help to help us understand why we were just blindsided. Why did this, you know, come down so last minute? Why did you let this, you know, booming industry spend hundreds and thousands of dollars of preparing for their doors to open on May 22nd at 5 p.m. just to be told that's not going to happen? So for us, it's just gathering some understanding as to what happened and why it happened, and then trying to use our platforms and our friendships within the community to educate as to how we were ready, why we were ready, that we are able to do this. Hopefully, I'm positively optimistic again that North Carolina will allow for a staggered or phased reopening and that things won't look like they do in the Northeast. I mean, the Northeast, just from demographics and sheer number of cases and fatalities due to COVID-19, looks tremendously different than North Carolina. And New Hanover County looks tremendously different than the state. I mean, with only 5 deaths in New Hanover County, it's really hard for us as local business owners to understand 90 days of lost business, lost revenue, and members with, you know, lost access to the physical and mental health benefits of having our doors closed.
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard for us, but you know, some of the mom and pops, it's been very hard on, and some of them are saying, hey, we're opening, just we don't have a choice, we got to, we're going out of business. And unfortunately, nationwide, I mean, the two largest publicly, well, not publicly, one of them's publicly traded, one mm-hmm. of them's owned, is Gold's Gym International is filed bankruptcy, and so is 24-Hour Fitness is mm-hmm. just filed bankruptcy. So
during the COVID pandemic, yeah. So, two, I mean, huge franchises.
So that's kind of scary when you say, wow, these guys are going down. But again,
that's horrible for the whole fitness community.
Yeah,
everyone
yeah.
thinks we're competitors and we don't want our neighborhood gym or big box gym to do well. Quite the opposite. If they don't do well, our community fails.
Yeah.
We're not offering those members a service that they need. So, you know, to see two huge major franchisees such as Gold's and 24-Hour Fit, you know, unfortunately come to that conclusion and decision because of COVID-19 is debilitating for the entire industry.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, you know, and when we know the benefits and we see it and we live it and we want to spread that with everyone, and then to have this kind of a setback. But I love the message that you guys put out there. Let's have it be a reset, you know. Let's see, maybe this is, you know, the thing that people need to see, like, you know, how can I miss you if you won't go away? Well, it was taken away from us for a little while.
And hopefully.
Silver lining in there,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder,
right?
Talk about the mental and physical, I think, you know, the positive mental attitude through all this, that's all you can really do, and that you can't control that we're closed, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think we'll see that, and again, from other states and other owners, that's what you're seeing, and people are ready to get back, and... So, We're excited. We're ready.
Yeah, and I encourage all your listeners to the podcast, you know, reach out, friend us on social media at tffitnessandnutrition.com, and let's start, you know, sharing success stories. Quite a few of your listeners have found this a great option, and physical exercise a great option to avoid painkillers and opioids. And I'm personally on a mission and an advocacy to let's share those stories. You know, the best way to deal with that epidemic is to share our knowledge and our information. So please just friend us and send me a message that you're a podcast listener, and I'm happy to share their story.
Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for supporting the Bolt for Life podcast. We launched our first episode when you guys had the grand opening for TF, and you were gracious enough to allow us to have a booth there and have that be our launch date. And just really appreciate all the support and appreciate the great business and service that you guys provide. And last but not least, but thank you for being leaders in this situation, this crisis, to take the lead to get the gyms open, not just your gym, but all the gyms. So
absolutely. We owe it to the community.
Well, if I may speak for the community, we appreciate it. It's awesome. So what do you think we can change after going through this situation? And should it repeat itself again, what do you think we can learn from this?
Yeah, I think there's obviously a goal is just to get open, number one. But I think kind of what we have talked about a couple times through this is just pure education and them learning more about the disease and that, hey, physical activity is a good thing and how the disease is truly transmitted so that they – you know, when this first came out, they just shut down everything because no one knew what was going on, what it was. And hopefully they'll learn from this and learn that, hey, physical activity is a good thing. You can go in and, hey, health clubs in general can do this. It's not just the wild, wild west in a health club where everyone's sweating. And they won't shut us down again. I think there's even been some places where they didn't shut down, you know, and they didn't see an increase in numbers. So they just will learn from this. And I think that's the biggest goal, whether it's a gym or restaurant or what have you, that
There's still so much speculation as to whether the quarantine or even social isolation in general helped to prevent the spread. And again, I think those are things that we're going to learn more about. You know, the location that I visited today in South Carolina, one of the things that we discussed was a clinical research study that they're doing right now in two patient populations, one in the medical community. They're actually testing all of their employees for COVID-19 as we speak right now. Obviously, they want to make sure, you know, medical providers aren't, you know, non-symptomatic, but yet a carrier of the disease. And they're also doing antibody testing to their community with biweekly blood draws. And I think this is just going to allow us to start gathering more science and more clinical information so that we can help educate the community. I mean, now they're saying it's no longer spread on surfaces. It's more of the particles. And, you know, let's face it, if it's safe to go to Walmart and not wear gloves and not wear a mask, then we're certainly well equipped to provide a healthy and safe and sanitary environment for those that choose to be there. Now, you know, if somebody's high risk or moderate risk, or if they've undergone, you know, chemotherapy or radiation or a recent surgery, I don't think now would be the time to come back. I mean, I would not go visit my elderly, you know, 87 plus year old Nana right now. But, you know, for the majority of the population, I think it is acceptable to come back. And, you know, to the question of will this happen again, you know, this isn't even flu season. So what's flu season going to look like? Right. You know, but as we get more of that information between the clinical science, I think we can be better prepared to make more educated decisions, not only as a community, but as an individual.
Yeah, so I guess if you're in a state where the gyms are open, definitely take advantage of it. You're very fortunate right now. Here in North Carolina, if people want to get involved, if they want to do something to help get the gyms and fitness centers open, what can they do?
Well, I mean, I would say in North Carolina, but any place your gym's not open, I think, you know, your voice does matter, whether it's reaching out to your local or state or even federal, you know, officials and just voicing your concern. You know, that's what we've been trying to do. And I think a lot of the fitness community in North Carolina does, you know, when they're passionate about something and you know, it's like taking away your – your medication, like Holly talked about, and people were very vocal, and I think that's what they can do. I think in addition to that, I think just while they may not have direct control over it, but they have control to stay active and stay healthy the best you can. Like I said, it's not going to be the same as going to a gym, but it's going to be better than nothing, and try to stay in that routine, because it is all about a routine. If you totally drop off the face of the earth, then it's going to be very hard to come back. So if you stay at home and if you exercised every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5 o'clock, try to go for a walk at Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 5 o'clock, and that'll help motivate you to stay on your diet and stay healthy. I mean, you know, ultimately it's you're in control of your life, and you need to continue to do that and stay in that habit as best you can. But I mean, I think those are things that anyone can do and they need to do.
So. To take that one step further, you know, not just communicating to your local, federal, and state officials, but make sure you're communicating your why. You know, not just, oh, this should happen, but this should happen because I was a diabetic and I was obese and I was able to lose 60 pounds and come off my metformin and I've never been healthier. You know, my why is because I'm in the military and I suffer from PTSD and I'm prescribed the gym as part of, you know, my staggered reentry back into socialization, and that was taken away from me. And to your point about what we can do going forward, I think it's very important as a community that we share these stories. If you go back for your annual visit post COVID-19 and you have had increased weight gain, you've had increased cholesterol, your blood pressure is higher, you're anxious, you're depressed, you know, you have a debilitating disease, you know, we need to start looking at what has happened by being sedentary or by limiting your physical activity and access to mental health and physical health during this time period. You know, not just for physical activity, but for nutrition as well. You know, we need to share that information. And I think if we share our why, then we can care about why it's important not to do this again. Because I think we will find, I'm actually very confident that we will find here post-COVID, you know, reopening, that we really have to some degree punish the healthy in the sense that some people have taken quite a step backwards.
Yeah, and it's such a shame to see. And we know dozens and hundreds of stories from working with clients over the years and working in gyms and seeing people's health improve, see people lose, you know, huge amounts of weight and change their lives. And it just, you're right. I love that message to get it out there and make it personal. You know, I love that. And
not everyone's comfortable sharing their personal story, and that's okay. But at least try to put a why behind it. Even if that why is, you know, hypothetically asking for a friend or telling from a friend, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So we're not going to know what this really looks like until people start getting their results back.
Yeah.
You can't, statistics don't lie.
Right.
Numbers generally don't lie. Yeah. And so when you have measurable numbers on a blood panel or a CDC panel that's looking at lipids and cholesterol, you know, weight, body fat percentage, you know, that is measurable criteria that can go into this clinical aspect that can teach us that is this the best way to respond in the event we have another national pandemic to the, you know, extent of COVID-19.
And again, going forward, God forbid this happens again, and it may. I know you guys have put so many things in place to keep the gym open, to keep things going forward, keep people working out. Is there anything that we can do as gym members to help the gym? Is there anything that we can do that would help in a situation or help to get any more of that information out there?
I mean, in regards of helping, I think, you know, each individual gym owner or small business owner has been impacted differently. You know, we've had people come to us and say, you know, hey, can I pay a membership in full, or, you know, can I re-up now as opposed to waiting till it expires? So I guess, you know, the best thing you can do is really just ask the individual gym owners and small business owners how you're able to help. The best way to help the biggest act of kindness and grace is always a referral. You know, for us, the best compliment is always somebody saying, this is my home gym and here's why, and let me not just tell you about it, I'd like to bring you with me. So I would say, you know, the biggest compliment and the biggest help that you can provide for many of the local gyms and many of the local small business owners is, you know, refer us. Bring someone with you.
Right on. Yeah. And it's a pleasure. It would be an honor and a pleasure. We want to get as many people in there as we can. And I think that's great advice to our listeners. Support your local gym. Support them. You know, come out.
Pay local gym, dues. Local restaurant, local mm-hmm. business. I mean, I think now more than ever, wherever you're at in the country, you know, it's more important, especially for the small businesses. I think I saw something social media was talking about, hey, during the next phase, let's shut down all the big boxes and let the small businesses. So, I mean, I think it's important, and I think that's the biggest thing that anyone can do for any small business, again, whether it's a gym or not, is just bring a friend, tell a friend, you know. So,
Skip and Holly, thank you so much for coming on the Bolt for Life podcast. It's been an honor and a privilege talking with you guys and having you here and supporting our cause here on the Bolt for Life podcast. Is there anything else you guys would like to touch on or talk about?
No, we appreciate you having us and look forward to seeing you in the gym.
Yeah, and right stay healthy, everybody.
Right on. Well, again, Skip and Holly Lennon from TF Fitness and Nutrition, thank you so much for being on the Bolt for Life podcast.
Yes, thank you.
I really want to thank Skip and Holly for being leaders in the community and not only to get their gym open, but all gyms and fitness centers open all around North Carolina. They are truly leading the way and doing everything they can to get their gyms open. And for that, Skip and Holly Lennon, you are Bolt for Life. Hey guys, just checking back in. This is a few days after we recorded the episode with Skip and Holly, and I'm glad to announce that Bill 594 has passed in the North Carolina State Senate. Now, the bill would allow fitness centers to reopen, but the bill still has to pass in the House on Monday. So if it passes there, we have the two-thirds majority, and the health centers, the fitness centers, the gyms can open up again, which is so important, like you just heard in this episode. So if you're still fighting the same battle in your state, keep pushing. It is possible. Contact those government officials. Let them know what you think. Open up our gyms. We appreciate you listening to Bolt for Life. Our goal is to help you or anyone that you might know to live and thrive with chronic pain. And you can help us out by subscribing or giving us a review on iTunes or anywhere else that you hear Bolt for Life. If you guys have any ideas, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at info@boltforlife.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Bolt for Life. Thanks again. This is Garrett Bolt for Bolt for Life.